Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 to 10, Joy of the Redeemed. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom, and it will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come, he will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs in the haunts where jackals once lay. Grass and reeds with papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Amen.
Thank you, Bev, for that beautiful reading. And like I said earlier, we will be looking at these great chapters from Isaiah. And as we do, we'll think about the Lord's return, think about prophecies about the Messiah. If you look at the fourth one, the verse 4, say to those with fearful hearts, this is sort of a center of this passage. Be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. So, using the pictures of this chapter, the prophet proclaims that the Lord will come, and the barren land, the dry place, the blind, the deaf, the weak, the crippled, the miraculous power of God will come to change things. And healing will come. He will provide for us. And that's not the end, though. He goes on to make a highway of holiness that the redeemed, the transformed, will travel on. And I think the highway will be sort of helpful for those who have been barren, who have gone through dry places, the weak, the crippled. The highway will be a sort of consolation to them, providing blessings after some hard seasons. Well, you've been maybe reading about Isaiah or studying and thinking about the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is considered by many scholars as the greatest prophet, and he prophesied about the Messiah more than any other prophet in the Bible. And Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is the first of all the prophetic books in the Bible, and he wrote mainly from Jerusalem. I think probably Isaiah was raised in an aristocratic family. You might see it differently, but because of what he says at the beginning of his ministry in chapter 6, you remember he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they fly. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Some people think that Uzziah was so powerful and influential and was sort of a kind of a prevention to him, preventing him from arising, from manifesting, from going forward. And so in the year that this king died, he had the freedom to now see the Lord. Some people do think in that direction. And well, that's not the subject of today. But I think he was raised in a sort of aristocratic family. And I don't know if you've also noticed that the book of Isaiah serves as a sort of a Bible in miniature, a mini Bible, because it's got 66 books, correct? And the Bible also has got 66 books. So looking at the book of Isaiah, the first 39 chapters focus more on judgment for sin. And then the last 37 chapters highlight the messages of God for comfort, for forgiveness, and for hope. And that's what prophets do. They bring God's words, right, condemning sin, condemning unrighteousness, but they also proclaim the love of God. He loves us, but he wants us to turn on a new leaf and you know, go away from our sins. But he doesn't love the sin. He loves the sinner, as they say. So he proclaimed that sort of judgment and for condemnation. But towards the end, I don't know, maybe because of his age and experience, he sort of dwelt more on the love of God, forgiveness, comfort, and then bringing hope. And so leading up to chapter 35, indeed from verse 31 to from chapter 31 to chapter 34, Isaiah dwelt more delivering a message of judgment on all nations, including Israel and Judah, for rejecting God. And so Isaiah 34 specifically spoke of great distress when God will judge all people. And then he jumps in verse 35, and then picturing the days when life will be peaceful at last and everything will be made right. So he broke through with this sort of vision of beauty and encouragement. Now, while I was reading all this, I made a note to say that God is thorough in his mercy as he is severe in his judgment. He doesn't mix up things because he loves you, and then he will let you do whatever you know you want. So he is quite thorough in his mercy. He loves us to the core. He loves us. Really, he means it. But when you come to judgment, he is also severe in his judgment. So Isaiah 35 is a sort of a poetic a word of comfort. First of all, for the mourners who are exiles, you know, in Judah. They lost their temple, they lost their land, they lost their sovereignty. It's a sort of kind of comfort to them. And also picturing the final kingdom that God will establish where his judgment and justice will destroy all evil. And that's why he burst in verse 1 saying, the deserts and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. So turning from chapter 34, dishing out judgment, and then abruptly bursting into that sort of hope to those who have been in a difficult place. And he goes on to give a sort of a sermon and a task at the same time to those who listened to him and to us as we listen this morning. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. Praise God. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. And so he says these beautiful things, and he brings these to a kind of a second person singular. And it might not be necessary, but I think while he is doing that, it's for us to own up these promises that is not being told to another person. The person hearing is the one to receive this message. He's hear us in that day, and for us as the redeemed of the Lord, for us to receive this word, not for someone by my side, but for me personally. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Because when God comes, he comes to change nothingness into something. When God comes, he brings joy where there had been sadness. A difficult situation, he brings beauty out of them all. The promise is true for the Israelites, and it's also true for us today. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I think about what they do and what they have transformed the desert places in Israel today, and you see dry places, springs of water coming out, perhaps that's a picture also of the fulfillment of this prophecy, the wilderness and the wasteland. They've turned those places today in this generation into productive farms, and the desert is now blossoming with roses where there were darkness and dry land. Today, there is beautiful, beautiful things in that place. Maybe physically also that is happening. But also as Christians, we've been adopted into this epic narrative. Praise the name of the Lord. And we've been given this promise of redemption. And we will own it up, and the Lord will be fulfilled. I remember one man of God saying, all truth is parallel. They were exiled and they needed redemption. Naturally also, we are in sort of exile, but the Lord will break through and give us salvation in the spiritual sense. So Isaiah 35 invites us to kind of reflect on these subjects today, about the coming of God in Christ and also our own coming home from exile. The coming of Christ, and also for us coming home, because anytime someone repents from their sins, they are indeed coming home to the Father. They have left the camp of the enemy, and they are now coming home. This chapter is something that the one that many churches and preachers highlight during Advent. I know that because of the theme of light, you know, light, Jesus coming, bringing light. But I thought we'll kind of reflect on that fourth chapter a little bit, because there is a call for us to be strong and do not fear, for God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save us. And so he will save us from darkness into light. And also reading further from verse 5, he says, the sick and the diseased are healed. And I believe it strongly that it will happen in the natural, it will also happen in the spiritual. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the desert, and streams in water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The eyes of the blind will be opened. You know, when salvation comes, it brings with it the miracle of insight, miraculous power of receiving sight naturally and also sight spiritually. Every darkness moves away. Praise the name of the Lord. And also abundance is replaced. Abundance replaces lack. Let's read verse 7 together, please. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground, bubbling springs. In the horns where jackals once lay. So the thirsty ground, difficult places, when God comes, they will be replaced with life. Life will grow from it. Water will gush forth in the wilderness. You know, my prayer is that for every difficult situation, the water of life will gush forth. Praise God. And for every wilderness experience that we might have, for all those struggles, you know, all those cares, those things we think about, as the Lord comes to us this week, may there be streams flowing where there have been desert places. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling with springs of water. And you know, like I mentioned earlier, the word translated parched ground actually means a mirage. And dry places, they will become well-watered and fruitful. Thirsty land will have springs of water. Do you remember what Jesus said in John chapter 7? He said, he who believes in me, 7:38 and 39, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those who believing in him will receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So the streams of water flowing in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit transforming difficult things in our lives, when God comes, this transformation will happen in our lives. Let me close by bringing us the sort of a general theme of these places. Like I've highlighted one or two of them. The Isaiah the prophet is bringing this message that desolate, dry places will be transformed into paradise. If you've lived in a kind of a desert place before, you will appreciate the power and the transforming power of water when you see one. If you've lived in a really, really dry and thirsty place, a little sight of water will mean all to you. And so when we go through difficult experience, desert experience, let's believe that when God comes, hope will come. Praise God. And also Isaiah reminds us that God is not oblivious to our struggles. He knows what we go through, and he knows exactly what to do. He knows we are struggling. He knows what we struggle with. And he knows what we how we respond as humans. But also, when he comes, comfort comes with it. Also, finally, Isaiah highlights that the power of God can transform the harshest of all settings and bring about joy. And that joy is deep and everlasting. So Isaiah saw this vision, the glorious power of God to bring life where there is nothingness, like I said, and joy where there is hopelessness. My prayer is that what happened in this chapter will happen to us. This transforming power of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, the feeble hands. And again, in verse 3 again, the knees that give way. Fearful hearts, obscured vision, hindered hearing, broken bodies, and mute tongues. Is there anyone with a fearful heart? When God comes, every fear will be rolled away. Praise God. Any obscured vision, not really sure of what is going to happen, hospital appointments, struggling to get appointments, not sure how it's going to turn out, when God comes, he will bring joy and happiness where there has been struggle. Feeble knees, not able to stand physically, struggling spiritually, also in prayer, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes, power and strength will come with it. This is good news. And then closing with that tenth one, he says, and the ransomed of the Lord will come. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Praise the name of the Lord. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. Let's pray as we pray for ourselves today, that the Lord will move in our lives, and that every difficult situation, every fearful heart will be changed and turned around. Every situation that looks impossible, that when God comes, light will come. Every darkness surrounded us, that the presence of the Lord himself will bring light unto us. Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves, O Lord. And we pray, O Lord, for those who are struggling, those who are confused. We pray for every difficult situation. We ask, O Lord, that the Lord Jesus will come, and that these difficult situations, difficult places will be turned around, and joy will come around. Light will burst forth. Joy of the redeemed. Lord, we ask that for everyone that has been struggling, not knowing what to do, we pray that the presence of the Lord will bring light, and every confusion turned around. We pray for those who are sick physically, feeble knees, obscured vision. We pray that healing will come to them right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We pray for those who don't know you yet. Their vision spiritually is obscured, spiritual sense. We pray, Lord, that their vision, the spiritual vision will come to them, Lord, that they will know you. We pray, O Lord, for those who are traveling. We ask, O Lord, that you will be by our side wherever we do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.